It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. It is, the 26th of November, 2019. For the podcasters, I hope you all want to have a good time listening, and maybe you'll be challenged today. Let's see what happens with the callers. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Got a lot of stuff going on, and by way of reminder, we've got a couple issues I just want to let you guys know about. I'm going to be expanding the help needed section for CARM in the next day or two or three, depending. What we're going to be doing is asking for help in various areas, email responders, organizers, things like that. And if you want to check it out already, what we do have, just go to carm.org/help, H-E-L-P, and you'll see what's there. I'll be letting people know about it, because what we're asking is that they pray about it for 2 weeks first before they do that, before they call, before they contact us. We are serious about needing help, and we're also serious about the people who will help us are going to be godly people. So you have to pray about it for 2 weeks, and there's some stuff there. Then you'll be vetted in a whole bit, and that's one thing. We also have a GoFundMe account. We're trying to raise the funds for the computers for our three missionaries. We have Brazil, we have Africa, and we have Colombia. So we've got three different languages. Well, actually, the guy in Africa is in Malawi, and he knows several languages. He's got a PhD. He's doing great. He's going around all in Africa, and he needs a laptop. We have our Friday meetings. He gets in on our Friday meetings. I use Zoom to do that, and he often has problems with his phone, and he doesn't have a very good laptop. It's pretty old. So, we're trying to make it so that we can work, and then we want to get supplies to him and things like that. So that's what we're doing. If you like that idea, all you got to do is go to carm.org/help or carm.org/GoFundMe. And you can see the information. I'll be expanding, putting some personal information about each individual there who does what. For now, let's get on the phones to Charlie from North Carolina. Charlie, welcome to the show. You are on the air.
Hey, Brother Matt.
Hey. So what do you got, man?
What was the problem with Joyce Myers?
Okay, Joyce Meyer has lots of problems, and so I'm going to say this. I'll read some stuff to you from what she has taught, and some of this is a year, two, three, four old, 5 years old, 6 years old. I have not heard anybody come to me and tell me she's recanted from anything. Now, I'm going to read some stuff, and people have to understand that there are certain areas where we can disagree on, and that's okay, but there are certain areas where we cannot. There are certain theological areas where it's worth dying over. And she steps on at least one of those and violates the very word of God. For example, this is what she said. He could have helped himself up until the point where he said, "I commend my spirit into your hands." Now, first of all, that's not true. Jesus could do anything he wants. He doesn't lose his divinity. He doesn't lose his ability because of a certain point in time. It's just bad teaching. And then she said, at that point, he couldn't do nothing for himself anymore. That's not true. That's out of the book of Deuteronomy or Second Maronicles. It's just not in the scriptures. And then she said he had become sin. He was no longer the Son of God. He was sin. That's flaming heresy. That is damnable heresy.
Oh, he was sin?
What's that? He had become sin.
She said he was sin?
He became sin. Now, what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin. And but let me read that, because what she's going through is that. That's not a problem, because how it can be understood, all right? And she's not a good theologian at all. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. So in the sense when he was made sin, we understand it's by imputation. That's not a problem. What is a problem says is this: he was no longer the Son of God. That's a flaming heresy. Yeah, she does not know what she's talking about. I'd love to debate her. I'd love to be on stage with her and debate her. It would never happen. She's too smart to have someone like me or other apologists on her program to actually go over some of these things with her. She would never do that because she'd be made to look bad. She needs to recant from this.
Right.
She needs to say, it's a heresy that I taught. I recant from it. Now, check this out. The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. That is not true. That's another flaming heresy. Because she fails to understand that his deity and humanity were sinless. Born again means we're regenerated. That's what being born again means. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells us. And this is out of John 3.
So he never had to be regenerated in the first place.
Right. I mean, it just makes me angry because most Christians don't know what they're being taught. They don't know what the truth is because I believe that pastors across America are not teaching theology. You don't have to have a seminary education on everything and teach textbook stuff, but they should know it well enough to be able to insert it throughout their sermons to teach the truth and inoculate Christians from heresies like this. And when she says things like this, the men around her are the ones called primarily to refute error, and they should stop her from saying this. But they don't have enough guts and wherewithal to know what's going on, and they're just much of yes men to her, as the ones that are around her. Now, here's another one.
Okay.
Here's another one. Jesus, he became our sacrifice and died on the cross. He did not stay dead. He was in the grave 3 days. During that time, he entered hell, where you and I deserve to go legally because of our sin. He paid the price there. Now, that's the most important decision you'll ever make by Joyce Meyer, second printing, May 1993, page 35. Now, she said he paid the price, whatever that is, the sacrifice, the sin debt, in hell. That is damnable heresy. What that means, damnable heresy means, what it means is that if you teach this, you cannot be considered a true Christian. Because Jesus said it on the cross, to Tetelestai, John 19:30, it's finished. And in Colossians 2:14, he says that he canceled the certificate of sin, the certificate of sin debt, okay, the certificate of debt, having nailed it to the cross. That's where it was paid for. He bore our sin in his body on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24. She is teaching Antichrist teachings. Antichrist.
Wow. So he did not go to hell.
He didn't go to hell and finish the atonement in hell. He did not pay for our sins in hell. That is damnable heresy.
Okay.
She is not qualified to be a preacher, teacher. Well, for one, she's a female, so she can't be a pastor. And another is that she is disqualified from being even halfway competently, partially a teacher.
Yeah.
There's more.
I can tell you're passionate about this subject.
Because she is teaching stuff that condemn people. It's that bad.
Wow.
It's like someone saying Jesus is not God. Oh, now we're going to fight. Now we fight. If you say, hey, you should believe in pre-trib rapture, I go, well, that's what you want to believe. That's okay. What's next? But if you say Jesus is not God, I'm going to fight you. And if you say that Jesus finished the atoning sacrifice on the cross, I'm going to fight you with the same fervor. This is what she said in that same book. Listen to this.
I love it, man. I didn't mean to get you going and get you upset.
Heresy. Yeah, heresy does
my
it.
Son,
listen to this.
My son asked you a question real quick.
Listen to this. Let me say, you have to hear this. Because what she said, that he went to hell.
Yes.
And he finished the atonement there. Then she said, Jesus paid on the cross and went to hell in my place. God rose up on his throne and said to demon powers, tormenting the sinless Son of God, let him go. They were not tormenting Jesus. That is flaming lies from the pit of hell. It's not what the Bible teaches in any way. And then she goes on to say, in the same book I said earlier, where he went and finished the atonement in hell, she says this, his spirit went to hell because that is where we deserve to go. Now listen to this. There is no hope of anyone going to heaven unless they believe this truth. She just now violated the gospel message. She just preached a false gospel. She's a heretic. She is a heretic. And I mean heretic.
Has she said it lately or just that's her total belief?
She has never recanted these things. We tried to contact her ministry, and I said, I have questions. I'm writing about Joyce Meyer. My website has 100 million visitors. I'm on radio, etc. Can we have some questions answered? We got just a standard, no thank you, but thank you for writing us. So I don't know what she's teaching now. I have to do more research on her and others. There's so many heretics on TV. I don't have time to do everything. Now listen to this.
I hear you.
Listen to this.
Okay, I got one more question. Is that okay?
Go ahead.
Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, this is James. This is Charlie's son.
Okay, hey, James.
How you doing? I had a question. Since, you know, they okay. Since God took the rib from man and made woman, how come we're not seen as equal? Or they're not, we're, you know, like...
Because being made out of a rib is not what determines equality. It just... It's just
but he said in the Bible, you took the rib from me, now... he said, I can't remember the exact quote. Probably do better than I could, but he said, she came from man.
Right. But it's not an it's not an equality in the sense of order. It's an equality in the sense of nature. So, for example...
See, that's what my dad was...
Okay, let me explain. Okay. I'm married. My wife and I have been married 33 years last week. 33
yes,
years. Actually, it was 4 days ago. So we're married, but I'm the head of the family because that's the position I have by the fact of being male and by the fact of being a husband. That's it. I'm the head of the family. She doesn't like it. That's just too bad. I don't like it. That's too bad. It's what it is. But we're both human beings, and we're equal in the eyes of the Lord as far as salvation goes and everything else goes. But we're not equal biologically. She can have babies. I can't have babies. What? So, I'm the head of the family. She's not the head of the family. It's not a big deal. And this is how it's set up.
No, it's not a big deal at all. It was just more or less like, you know, they were created from us, so and they can do the same things as us, except for we give them the children and they mate them. You know, that's pretty much the only difference. But
no, there's other differences.
If it was a sense of like you said, order, like just because we came first, you know, we're better, you know, something like that.
No, it's not better. It's just simply it's called primogeniture, the firstborn male.
Yes, sir.
It's just a biblical concept. The firstborn male has authority. That's it.
Okay.
Just how God set it up, because it reflects the person and work of Jesus on the cross. He's the only begotten, the firstborn of creation. He is the one who has that primogeniture. And Adam had it because Christ had it. That's how it works.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That's all it is.
I really appreciate you explaining that to me.
Okay, man. Well, God bless, buddy. Okay.
You have a good evening.
You too, James. All right. Hey, folks, Joyce Meyer, unless she has repented, let me tell you this, that unless she's repented of what it is she has taught, she is a heretic. Now, if she has repented and she teaches proper theology, I will come on the radio and say, folks, she's repented, teaching proper theology, praise God. I've not heard anything that would lead me to believe that she has done that. She is a heretic, and no true Christian should listen to her because of this. Someone's got to say it, and I'm saying it. Folks, be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get right on the phones to Zach from Iowa, whom we just lost. And you guys may be able to tell I have a bit of a head cold. I'm getting over. Been getting over it for a few days. Please bear with me on that. And let's get on the phones with Nelson from California. Nelson, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome.
Okay, God bless. Yes, I got a question, and I'm pretty sure you've heard this doctrine before. I used to go visit this church. It's a Spanish church, and the pastor used to believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. That's what we believe. And somehow, some way, Satan has not restored it, but messed up his thinking, his theology, where he believes that in Genesis 3:15, where he narrows it, where he believes that Eve had a sexual encounter with the serpent.
Yes, it's called serpent seed teaching. And the guys who teach that are Shepherd's Chapel.
Is that biblical?
No.
Or is
no,
that
it's heresy. Heresy? It's false teaching.
Yeah, that's. Yeah,
so what serpent seed is, the teaching that Satan had relations, physical relations with Mary, and produced Cain. Okay? And so that's what they teach. Mm-hmm. It's refuted very quickly, very easily by Genesis 4:1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Refuted.
I've spoken to him already. He actually blocked me now from.
This is a pastor.
From, yes, he's a pastor.
Where?
In Salinas, California.
Salinas, California. So he's denying the Trinity, California. And he's adopting serpent seed.
Well, he used to believe in the Trinity.
Not anymore.
And all of a sudden, not anymore.
Okay.
He told me over the phone that he did not believe that Jesus was born from a virgin.
Okay, he's a false convert, and he's a false pastor, false teacher. Okay.
So just I wanted you to elaborate much on that, and so where did that teaching come about?
It came from Satan himself. And Satan has many servants inside the church, visible and outside the church. And part of the manifestation of his false teachings are such things as serpent seed teaching. Jesus was not born of a Virgin Mary. The Trinity is not true. Jesus is not God. Jesus did not rise from the dead physically. We're not justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Have to do works, you know. These are all demonic doctrines that deny the truths. And so what he's doing...
He was... Uh-huh. I'm sorry. It's because he was saying that the definition of seed means semen.
That's like fortune cookie theology. They don't understand how language works. If he's in Salinas, you know, I'm from Southern California, so Salinas, does he speak Spanish at all? And English?
Yes, he speaks a lot of Spanish. Just a little bit of English.
Oh, he's mostly Spanish.
Yeah, the congregation is in Spanish. I used to go there, just visiting.
Well, tengo un amigo en Colombia que habla en español totalmente, si quieres hablar con él. And he can talk to him about this if you want. Pero mi español no es suficiente para enseñarle. So, you know, I've got someone who can talk to him about this. And he's in Colombia, and he translates the stuff for Carm. But so we have stuff on this, and his name's Carlos, and he's very, very good, and he'd be able to talk to this guy.
Okay.
But this guy is a false teacher, and the congregation needs to be warned. So if you have friends in that congregation, or if you're nearby, you might want to consider taking some action. You cannot sit around and let a false teacher do this kind of a thing. You got to do something sometime, some way. So if he's blocked you,
that's because I told to him a couple of times actually, and then he's like, "That's fine if you don't believe it." He told me that because the fact that the Holy Spirit has not revealed it to me until you understand, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you.
Yeah, yeah, blah blah blah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to me. Yeah, what if you said, "Well, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, you're a false teacher." See, Holy Spirit is nothing more than someone. What people do is use the Holy Spirit himself in order to teach false doctrines. And they're not submitting themselves to the Word of God. He's a false teacher. Now, I'd be willing to talk to him, but, you know, my Spanish is not good enough. But Carlos would be willing to talk to him, if this guy's willing to talk, but I'm sure he won't be.
Yeah.
So what you got to do...
This
is what you got to do. You find people in that congregation, if you can, and you contact them. And say, here's what the Bible actually teaches. Genesis, you know, I've got stuff on serpent seed on my website. I got stuff on the Trinity on my website. Go through some articles.
Yeah, I checked it out. You have a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, and we have a Spanish site, but I have to tell everybody, the Spanish site is down right now. And it's been down.
Oh, okay.
we're trying to raise the funds to get things going. We got a lot of problems here. We've been under a heavy attack. We've had some major setbacks, mechanical setbacks as far as servers, hard drives, and things like that. We're trying to move forward, and we are moving forward, but the new site's not yet manifested. It should be in the next week or two or three or four, that range. And then Mia Peak will be back up. It's called Ministerio de Politicas y Cristianas, MiaPeak.com. And so, but we have everything in Spanish, too. So Carlos can send you articles. And if you want, email me, and then I can give you information from Carlos, and you guys can talk. But if not, that's okay.
Okay.
But, it's up to you, man.
And and then one more question. I actually got two more, but I'll just tell you one more. I have a friend that he's an apostolic. They believe in the modalism and teaching, and I've told them about it, and he sincerely believes that what he believes, and I sincerely believe he's seeking the Lord in that. Mm-hmm. But I know that what they're being taught is heresy.
Correct.
First and foremost, when did this doctrine begin? I know.
Well, I tell you what.
I have listened.
It's difficult to talk about when it began, except to say that it's with Sibelius.
Like when it was being taught.
Oneness was taught by Sibelius back in the 400 or 500s. And it's called Sibelianism, modal monarchianism, dynamic monarchianism. There's different versions of it. What I'd recommend you do is go to CARM and look up the Oneness Pentecostal stuff and start reading through there. There are some very strong arguments that demonstrate oneness is incorrect. But the thing that I find to be most effective is you go to Luke 22:42, where Jesus says to the Father, "Not my will, but your will be done." If Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are all the same person, which means they have one will, then why would Jesus say, "Not my will, but your will be done"? As two wills. But you can't have that in modalism. So that's a problem. So what they have to say then is that the human part of Jesus was praying to the divine part of Jesus. Because he had two natures. But then that's a problem.
Yes.
Because then you deny what's called the hypostatic union. The one person has two distinct natures. And they're teaching what's called Nestorianism. So go on CARM and read up on that in oneness. Okay, buddy?
Okay,
right.
Perfect. Thank you very much, brother.
Okay, that's good, man. All right, buddy. We'll see you. Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Kim from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Kim, welcome. You're on the air.
Matt. I was listening to Michael Brown today, and he was saying that when you pray in the Spirit, that is speaking in tongues. Is that true?
Let's see. I'd have to see. I don't believe it's always the case. Now, I've talked to Michael before, and I could call up and ask him, but I think Romans 8 talks about this, and it says groanings. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's praying in the Spirit right there. And the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He also searches the hearts and mind of the Spirit is. So that would be groanings, not speaking in tongues. So that right there demonstrates that not all instances of praying in the Spirit is tongues.
I mean, that's what I was thinking, too, because that scripture came to me when he said that.
Okay. Dr. Michael Brown, he's a good guy. And I don't agree with everything he has to say, and he doesn't agree with everything I have to say. He's charismatic, so am I believe in the gifts. But, if he said that all instances of praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues, then Romans 8:26 defeats that. So, okay.
So you don't necessarily have to speak in tongues to be speaking or praying in the Spirit.
Of course not. And you could be on your knees. You could be on your knees praying, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. There have been times that I haven't even known what to say. I mean, I don't even know what to pray sometimes, because one thing I've learned through my life is I mess things up. I don't even know if I'm asking the right thing. I want to be in God's will, not my own will. I ask for things, but I always ask after I say, Lord, your will be the primary thing, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. That's how it has to be. Nevertheless, in my ignorance, Lord, these are the things I ask for. But nevertheless, Lord, let not my will be done, but yours be done. Now, what if I get to the place where I'm just I don't even know. I'm groaning. That is a movement of the Spirit, because the Bible says so in Romans 8:26 and 27. Because the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That is definitely praying in the Spirit. And I'm sure there are manifestations of praying in the Spirit where we actually don't know the Spirit is working through us to pray properly as he intercedes in us. Okay?
Well, thank you, Mike. I mean, I appreciate that, man.
Sure, man. God bless.
You too.
All right. That's Kim from Winston-Salem. Let's get to, Alan from San Diego. Alan, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Matt Slay.
Hey, I had a question for you. Where are you in San Diego? I used to live in San Diego. Loved it.
More closer to like La Jolla area.
Ah, you lucky dog, you. I was up in Escondido.
Yeah. All right.
So
I'm actually
got,
in the
man?
Valley right now, but
that's nice.
Quick question for you. Sure. So actually, my cousin called last week. My question is different than his, but he was also wondering if you had a solution on that whole Abiathar Abimelech situation.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
Jesus... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you like cited that somewhere or if you posted
wrote an
about
article
that or anything. But
wrote
you
an
had
article.
Con-
oh, it's on Karm. Yeah, I released it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, awesome. I'll pass the message along. But I had a different question.
Sure.
Because we watch a lot of like Bart Ehrman stuff because we're trying to kind of kind of get that whole trying to see where he's coming from so we can, I guess, defend against it and whatnot.
Okay.
But one of the
that's
issues
good.
He brought up. Yeah, one of the issues he brought up was where in Matthew it says that Judas Iscariot hung himself, and then in Acts it says that he fell headlong and his guts spilled open. So I think he had a debate with Peter, I think it was Williamson, if I'm not mistaken. And we can totally like reconcile that and say, well, you know, he was hanging and the tree branch broke and he fell, and then kind of try to reconcile both of these cases. But really, in that interview, I guess, or that debate, he said, yeah, but really, like, we can reconcile anything. Like, we can say that, you know, how some people say we went to the moon, and then there are conspiracy theorists that say, well, we never went to the moon. And he's like, we can even reconcile that and say,
he actually brought that up.
We circled around, we came back. Yeah.
That's stupid.
He was trying to say that we can really. he was trying to say that, like, anything is reconcilable if we really,
that's
really
ridiculous.
Try. So he's trying to say, well,
it's ridiculous. He aggravates
I agree,
me.
But I see where he's coming from, where he's
nope.
saying that
nope.
these
let
two accounts on paper are different, but
let me
we're reconciling them by saying, well, the tree branch broke, but in hindsight, we don't really know if it broke or didn't break.
Okay, let me help you out. You got to study logic. Mm-hmm. You have to study logic. Go to Karm, look up logical fallacies. And memorize, go through those logical fallacies. Now, let me ask you some questions here. I'm going to teach you. You're on the I use this illustration. You've probably heard me say it. That you and I are opposite sides of a street corner intersection. And we're waving to each other, yelling across the street at each other. Lights aren't in our favor to get to each other. And lo and behold, there's a car accident right between us. A black car and a white car. You see three people get out of the white car. I see two people get out of the white car. Is that a contradiction?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a contradiction?
No, because we have different perspectives.
Why is it not a contradiction? Not just a different perspective. Let's get more precise. Why is it not a contradiction? Well, before we answer the question, we need to define what a contradiction is. This is what this guy, he angers me because he does things like this, and people who aren't astute on this can be deceived. If I were debating him, I'd say, please define what a contradiction is. We'll go to the second law of logic. And a contradiction is you cannot have a statement or statements be both true and false at the same time in the same way. You cannot have two statements that contradict each other and both be true. The law of non-contradiction.
But can you give me an example of that, how that works?
Sure. Like you can't see it unless you're looking on Facebook, but I have a glass of water in my right hand right now. I'm actually holding it right here, okay? And I'm tapping on it. Okay? So I have this glass in my hand. People who are watching me, I can say, I am holding this glass of water in my hand. I am also not holding this glass of water in my hand. See, both statements cannot be true at the same time in the same sense. I'm holding the water in my hand. It's also the case that I'm not holding the water in my hand. That's not true. I'm either holding the water in the hand or I am not. It cannot be that both, which contradict each other, are true. It cannot be both true. I'm holding it and I'm also not holding it at the same time in the same sense in the same way. That's what's called a contradiction. That's a contradiction. So, when I use this logic when I'm debating atheists, I'll say it's either the case that God created the universe or it's not the case that God created the universe. There's no in-between. It's a true dichotomy. So if you see...
Got it.
Three people get out of the white car, and I see two get out of the white car, it's not a contradiction. Because if there's three people, there's also two people, there's also one person in the car. But it doesn't say only one. So one of the things I do with my children, we had this game.
That would be like saying nobody got out of the car. Then it's completely something that,
if I
that
said,
would contradict it, is what you're trying to say.
Exactly. If I said no one got out of the car,
or
you
like
said
a dinosaur
three,
got out of the car or something... Yes,
well, it might
totally
be that...
Not true.
No. It could be the dinosaur got out of the car. Because it could be that you had a special effects guy who had an outfit and all this stuff. So you see, the thing is that, if I said no one got out of the car and you said three people got out of the car, that's a contradiction. Because you cannot have it be true that no one got out of the car, also three people got out of the car. You can't have that. You can have it that three people got out of the car and two people got out of the car because both of those statements are still true and either statement does not make the other one impossible. So one of the things I do with my children, we had a game called I've Got an Animal. So I'd think of an animal or they'd think of an animal. We had to ask questions that could only be answered yes or no, and we had to rotate through each other until one of us got the right guess of what the animal was. So one time I was thinking of a horse, and one of my daughters asked me, does it have two legs? I said, yes, it does.
They
couldn't get it. They couldn't figure it out. And they said, well, it is. I said, it's a horse. I said, Dad, you said it had two legs. It does have two legs. It also has three legs. It also has four legs. So then, but it's true. It is true. It's like saying, does it have a hair? Yes, it does. It also has two hairs and three hairs. So they, from then on, they'd say, Dad, does it only have two legs? I'd say, no, it does not. Does it only have three? No, it does not. Does it only have four? Yes, it does only have four. They learned how to think because I taught them how to think. So we're going to back, and I'll talk about this hanging and falling thing and why Bart Ehrman needs to take some lessons in thinking. All right? We'll be right back, folks. After these messages, please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Before we get back to Alan, I just checked. I was just checking some stuff, and boy, people are going to the GoFundMe thing for the laptops and computer for our three missionaries, and you guys are donating since the beginning of the show. You guys are awesome, and just want to say keep it coming. And we're halfway there on one of them, halfway or third. And if you're interested in checking it out, it's just karma.org/GoFundMe, and you can check out what we're doing, trying to raise funds for laptop for our African office a laptop for Colombia office and a desktop computer for our Brazil office. And so we're looking to get that. So praise God. Thanks. All right. Hey, let's get back on the phones to Alan from San Diego. Alan, we lost him. So let me finish this. We'll get to their callers. By the way, we have three open lines, folks, 877-207-2276. Now, Bart Ehrman, if he said what this guy said, then he needs to study logic. To say we can reconcile anything means we abandon the laws of logic in order to reconcile anything. That's how you have to do that. You could not use logic and the laws of logic and critical thinking in order to reconcile anything. You cannot do that. For example, I'm holding the glass of water in my hand. It's also the case I'm not holding the glass of water in my hand. No, the laws of logic say both those statements cannot be true. But if he's going to say reconciling anything means we can find a way to make them true, then we have to abandon the laws of logic. And if we abandon the laws of logic, then we're abandoning meaning. And then I can just say, well, you know, whatever you say, I'll interpret whatever way I want, because we're abandoning logic. So his statement is just bad to begin with. It's bad to begin with. Now, Judas hung himself in one place, and he fell down headlong, and his guts burst open in another place, it says. I have been to Israel, and I have seen the hillside where he hung himself. I still remember driving in our tour bus, and the tour guide said, look over there, that's where Judas hung himself, along this bank of trees. I glanced right over, and there it was. And it was really interesting, because it's this field goes up, I mean, it's flat, and then all of a sudden it hits this bank, and it goes up, you know, at about 60-degree angle or so, and up 30, 40 feet, and there's trees at the top of it. And it goes off to another, you know, flat area. There it is. So on the edge of that area, he hung himself, and then the rope broke, tree branch broke, he fell down, his guts burst out. It would make sense, too, because if he's been up there for a while decaying, there's bloating that occurs. Falling down would then release all that. So there is no problem whatsoever with the account, and for anyone to say it's a problem can't think their way out of a wet paper bag. So much heresy, so little time. Let's get to Mike from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mike, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing tonight?
Doing all right, just fighting heresies. What's up, man?
My question has to do with Freemasonry, mm-hmm. and whether somebody could be a Christian and be a Freemason, or
no.
vice versa.
No, you can't.
And
you
so
should not.
Whether they could serve in an elder role as a Freemason.
The Freemasonry requires oaths of secrecy to an order that ultimately teaches false gods. And that's what Freemasonry does.
Okay.
And Freemasonry...
Well, that's kind of the...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I'd say Freemasonry, there's some theories about its origin, but it looks like it might have its origin in what's called the Knights of the Templar. And this was during the Crusades. And the Knights of the Templar were people who... The Knights, what they did was they went in and they provided safe passage through certain hills, in certain valleys. And then when the Crusades ended, they were kind of out of a job. So what they started doing was charging passage to go through, and then they became corrupt. If you want to go through, you have to do it, and they extorted people. Then the Roman Catholic Church Empire at that point, sent the military in to defeat them. They went underground. And they surfaced and under different names, different times. And so one of the people who've really studied this a lot says this seems to be how they got the 33 degrees of Masonic levels, as the various times and epochs that they went through, that they went underground and stuff. They have secret handshakes, secret hugs, and things like this, which the Mormon Church uses, because Joseph Smith took it, because he was a Freemason, and he took their stuff, and then said it was really from God, which is why they killed him, most probably, because he swore a blood oath to the Masons. But at any rate, so, no, a true Christian should not be involved with that, because you have to swear allegiance to the Masonic order in secrecy. Now, it's different than swearing an oath For example, in the military, it's a public oath. You're swearing to uphold the Constitution. That's not a problem because it's, your yes is yes, your no is no. You're saying you'll do this. That's okay. But in Masonic stuff, it's secret oaths under a secret organization that you can't reveal. Otherwise, there's consequences. And this is hidden stuff. And occult means hidden. And so it can be occultic. Mm-hmm. Plus, like I said, it teaches some false things. And when I'm going through quickly, we've got callers waiting, but when I was dating a girl before I got married, I ended up going to one of her ceremonies, and there was a Masonic hall next to it, and I went into this hall, just opened the door. Nobody was in there. It was unlocked. I don't know how. I just walked right in. I went up into the Masonic area, and on the table in the Masonic area, all these chairs, hundreds of chairs around, I went up with my own eyes. I opened up two books in this podium kind of a thing. Still remember it. And I opened up these books, and in there I scanned through, and it's one of them said, Jesus is not God. And the other one said, Christians have to be dealt with. They're a problem. I remember reading this, and I remember thinking I should swipe these books for documentation, but that would be theft. So I did not.
Mm-hmm.
With my own eyes, I read this.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be involved in masonry. Okay?
Well, I appreciate your input. I had kind of come to that same conclusion from, you know, any research that I had done, but just wanted to get your feelings on it, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Matt. Thank you.
You too. God bless. All right. Let's get to David from Raleigh, North Carolina. Oh, I was hoping he would. Oh. He had a problem with how I was characterizing Joyce Meyer. And we have no callers waiting. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let me teach you. Within the Christian church, there is the necessity of teaching truth. There's a dividing line between truth and error. Some truths are so important that we as Christians should die for them. These doctrines, for example, are Jesus as God in flesh. Jesus says in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That is a doctrine that we must die for. We must defend to the death as being true, that Jesus is God in flesh. We must also defend the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. You can go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, combine that with Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5. But in Galatians, it talks about those who seek to be justified by the law, they've fallen from grace. If they seek this through the issue of circumcision, which represents any work that you do. And that would say then that anyone who holds that cannot be a true Christian. That's another doctrine we must die to defend. Another one is the physical resurrection of Christ. Paul the Apostle says, if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14. And verse 17. And Jesus prophesied his own physical resurrection in John 2:19 through 21. He did this. He died in the same body he died. He rose from the dead in the same body he died in. And if he's not risen, then Christianity is false. And anyone who would deny the deity of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, cannot be a true Christian. The atonement of Christ occurred on the cross. He bore our sin in his body on the cross. Colossians 2:14 says, he says, he canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees which was hostile to us. He took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In John 19:30, Jesus says on the cross, he says, it is finished. Tetelestai in the Greek, which is a statement saying a legal debt has been paid in full. Jesus finished the atonement on the cross, and he canceled the sin debt on the cross. Anyone who would say that he did not finish it on the cross is a flaming heretic teaching damnable doctrine. Just as someone would say Jesus is not God, that's damnable heresy, which means you can be damned for that, to hell, for teaching a false doctrine, for denying an essential of Christian faith. The essentials of the Christian faith are in Scripture. They are declared in Scripture. It's not me making them up. It's not my opinion. The Scriptures declare, because they have a warning with the essentials. Now, Jesus said, it's finished on the cross. It's finished. Jesus equated sin with legal debt. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Forgive us our sins, Luke 11:4. Forgive us our debts, Matthew 6:12. The parallel passages of that. Jesus equates sin with legal debt. And the Bible says, as I already repeated, 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sin in his body on the cross. John 19:30, he finished it on the cross. Colossians 2:14, he canceled the sin debt on the cross. For anyone to say that Jesus did not finish it on the cross is to deny what the scriptures clearly teach. And is they are therefore outside the camp of Christ. They are therefore heretics. Must be rebuked soundly and thoroughly and publicly as heretics, and they should not be listened to. And such is the case with Joyce Meyer. Because she said in the most important decision you'll ever make, second printing, May 1993, page 35. Now, if she's recanted from this, praise God. But as far as I'm concerned, everything I've read, everything I've heard, she's never recanted from this. And this is what she said. He became our sacrifice and died on the cross. He did not stay dead. He was in the grave 3 days. During that time, he entered hell, where you and I deserve to go legally because of our sin. He paid the price there. To say he paid the price in hell is to say he did not pay the price on the cross. Is to deny the sufficiency of the cross. That is damnable heresy. Damnable. Damnation. This is serious stuff. And when she says, that was page 35, and on page 37 of that book, she says, his spirit went to hell because that is where we deserve to go. There is no hope of anyone going to heaven unless they believe this truth. So she says, you can't even go to heaven if you don't believe his spirit went to hell because that's where we deserve to go. And that's just page 37, but on page 35, she said he went to hell and paid the price there. Folks, that's damnable heresy. She's a heretic. And people need to stand up and say it, along with the other false teachers that are out there. And if you're a pastor and you're listening to me, you need to equip your Christians. You need to equip the people under your care. You need to equip them with the truth. And don't be afraid to draw the line where it needs to be drawn. You need to know your doctrines well enough to know what the truth is and stand on the truth and not compromise the gospel. And not compromise that gospel and thereby contribute to the damnation of the people under your care. Don't listen to false teachers. I'd keep going, but I'm out of time. And the Lord bless you. And by his grace, be back on there tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. See you. Bye.